Ramsey TV.
I bet, I just bet, that you have asked yourself at least one time today, and don't try to fool me that you haven't, what will happen to the inhabitants of Sodom and Gomorrah? I know, I do too. Don't feel bad. Some of you are wondering what's going to happen to Frank Sinatra. I know. Some others, perhaps, are asking themselves what's going to happen to... let's see. What's going to happen to... Attila the Hun. And the rest of the Huns, for that matter. I'm Martin Zunder, your host of MZTV. Today we're going to the Great White Throne. This is one of the most epic events in the Aeonian times. Now, the next great thing on the Aeonian calendar is the snatching away of the body of Christ, which was a secret resurrection. After that, the next great thing... Well, you might say that, the next great thing would be the tribulation. And the next great thing is the resurrection of the worthy saints of Israel at the coming of our Lord to the earth. The next great thing would be the millennium. After that, Satan is loose, deceives the nations, bada bing, bada bang. And then something happens to this earth, ladies and gentlemen. This earth is combusted by fire. Peter gives us that information. And after that, the event that is the topic of this edition of the MZTV, the Great White Throne. And the question is, what's going to happen to people at the Great White Throne? This is a question, all joking aside, of course. I usually don't tell Great White Throne jokes, but... All joking aside, many of your friends and relatives and relations will be at the Great White Throne. And I will tell you why in a second. But let's read the passage from Revelation 20, verse 11. And I perceived a great white throne, and him who was sitting upon it, from whose face earth and heaven fled, and no place was found for them. So, by the time this Great White Throne judgment arrives, heaven and earth will have fled. This is why I believe that the millennial earth, that is the same earth we're on now, remember this, the same earth we're on now is going to be regenerated at the coming of Christ, and this earth's going to survive through the 1,000 years, but after that, it's going to be destroyed. So, the Great White Throne, I perceived... A great white throne, and him who is sitting upon it, from whose face heaven and earth fled. Heaven and earth. Each earth has a corresponding heaven. And so we're on the second earth. There are three earths during the Aeonian times. The first earth was disrupted in Genesis 1-2. We are on the second earth. The second earth will survive through the millennium. And then it will be destroyed and it will bring a new heavens and a new earth. However, at this great white throne judgment, heaven and earth, that is the one we're on now, the earth we're on now, and the heaven that's above our heads will be gone. And so it's at this time that the dead will rise. Those who have, I'll tell you who these dead are. I perceived the great white throne. Yeah, we did that. 12. Revelation chapter 20, verse 12. And I perceived the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne. How can dead people stand, Martin? What are the dead standing? It's a figure of speech called prolepsis. No, it's a figure of speech. No, it's not prolepsis. It's a figure of speech called retention, where a term is retained to describe those who were recently thus categorized. Let me explain that to you. I perceive the dead standing before the throne. These are those who were recently dead. They're still called dead, thus the word dead is retained to identify them from those who have already been alive. These are the ones who were just recently dead. This, did you understand what I'm saying? It describes the resurrection of every single human being who has not been already resurrected during either the snatching away or the resurrection of the worthy saints in Israel 75 days after our Lord sets his feet upon the Mount of Olives. So basically, this resurrection is every single unbeliever that has ever lived. Wait just a darn minute. That is not necessarily true. In fact, it's not true. Because I just thought of several people who are going to be there. Okay. There are only two Gospels by which human beings are saved unto immortality. The gospel of the circumcision given to Abraham, which in the days of Abraham looked forward to the Messiah, at the coming of Messiah recognized the Messiah, and post-Messiah confirmed that that was the Messiah. These are the worthy Israelites. Let me ask you this. How can someone who was born before Abraham, born and died, died before Abraham, how can any such person be a part of the Israel gospel? For instance, Job. Was Job an Israelite? No. He was not an Israelite. So how does he have a part in the circumcision gospel? From what we know, in 1 Corinthians 15, as in Adam all are dying, thus also in Christ shall all be vivified, yet each in his own class. Christ the first fruit. Thereupon those who are Christ at his presence were his parousia. And contrary to what you might have heard, there are two groups at two different parousias. It's in the scripture. A parousia just means presence. You have to look at the context to determine when the presence is. So there's one presence when he comes down from heaven and we meet him in the air. Some people think we're coming back to earth. Where does it say that? It doesn't say we're going to heaven either in that verse, but it does in other places. Ephesians 2:6, we are seated among the celestials in Christ Jesus. That's a figure of speech known as prolepsis, calling what is not as though it were, because we're not there yet, but it's so sure that we're going to be there that it's spoken of as if we're there. Seated among the celestials. He seats us right now among the celestials. It's so sure that it's spoken of as if it were actually happening, but it's not. That's the first presence of the Lord. There's another presence. Yeah. When he comes down from heaven, sets his feet on the Mount of Olives. Way different things happening here. Don't want to get into details on that right now. But anyone who died before Abraham has no part in the Israel gospel and the resurrection that occurs when Christ returns, sets his feet on the Mount of Olives to set up the kingdom. Let me ask you this. Could anyone who died before Paul received his gospel, could they be in the body of Christ? The answer, before you start coming up with any crazy ideas, is no. They cannot be in the body of Christ. Well, that's not fair. They didn't get an opportunity. It's not about opportunity. It's about you were born not at the wrong time. You just weren't appointed to be in the body of Christ. I mean, this also will help you realize how fortunate, how blessed we are to be born when we are and to be called. Not only are you called in this life, but there would not be the possibility of being called into the body of Christ if you were born before Paul received his gospel. This is an amazing thing. Think about it. We hear that God is an equal opportunity Savior. Huh? How is that? Because no one could be in the body of Christ before Paul. No one. Is Job in the body of Christ? Is Ezekiel in the body of Christ? Isaiah? Is John the Baptist in the body of Christ? How could he be? He got his head chopped off while our Lord was still alive. He didn't even survive to see the crucifixion or the resurrection. He's not in the body of Christ. He's in the kingdom of Israel. So what about these people who are born, as you might say, out of season? They're not part of Israel, and they're not in the body of Christ. Because there's a lot of people born and died before there even was in Israel. And many, many more were born before there was a Saul slash Paul. So it's not only unbelievers who will be at the great white throne. It will be people who believed in God, generally speaking. They believed in God. They had a yearning for God, and they longed for God, like Job. And there's another notable that I'm going to mention that'll go. It's going to blow your mind. Blow your ever-loving mind. This individual will be at the great white throne. You won't believe me at first, but when you consider it in the quiet of your room, you will say, Martin Sender's right again. Oh my God, again, he's right. It's tiresome, doesn't it, Anna? So it's not only all the dead who have ever died, which is a heck of a lot of people, who were never believers, but it's also the dead who had no part and couldn't have had a part, even though they were faithful to God, they loved God, they yearned for something greater than themselves, they were in touch with the Spirit, but nevertheless, they were born before there was any such thing as Israel or any such thing as Paul and the body of Christ. So, no snatching away for them, and no resurrection of the worthy saints in Israel at the coming of Christ. So what happens to all of these people? Well, they rise at the great white throne. And this is an interesting statement. I perceive the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne. This does not describe the size of the people. That does not describe Goliath and Tom Thumb, the great and the small. No, this could refer to two different things. This is my take on it. It could either be the great, the mighty, the famous, the earth shakers like Nebuchadnezzar, the great and the small like, you know, the guy who invented, say, the safety razor, wherever he is. May he rest in peace. May he rest in peace. But that man will be standing next to Nebuchadnezzar. And the man who invented the safety razor will say, "You look a lot like Nebuchadnezzar." Nebuchadnezzar like, "Are you the guy that invented the safety razor?" "Yes, I am." "Nice to meet you." "Yeah, you too." Or the small and the great could be, the small could be the unbelievers. And the great could be those who had a connection with God. Even early on. The people that lived before Abraham was called. The people who lived before Paul. Like Job. And like the guy I'm going to tell you now. Well, first of all, let me give you a list of the luminaries who will be at the great white throne. I couldn't make an exhaustive list. I just didn't have time today. I would have made an exhaustive list for you of every single person that will appear at the great white throne, but I didn't have the time. I had to run. I needed a nap because I got up at 5, so I'm sorry about that. So I just made a short list here of the people of the great white throne, just names that came to mind. Julius Caesar. That'll be cool. Julius Caesar, Elvis, Roy Rogers, Napoleon, Nebuchadnezzar, as I just named, Carrot Top. Yeah, Carrot Top will be there. Adolf Hitler, Mother Teresa, Boxcar Willie will be there. And here's the guy that's going to blow your mind that will be at the Great White Throne. Are you ready for this, Adam? Yeah, I said Adam, the first human being, the first man. Adam will be at the Great White Throne. There's no other place for him. There's no other place for him. He's not an Israelite, and he's not in the body of Christ. But he was a decent guy, except for that little sin thing. He just had a little issue there in the garden, but it was his wife's fault. Oh, yes, it was Eve's fault. Everybody blamed everybody else in the Garden of Eden. I love this. God said to Adam, "What have you done?" Adam said, "Well, the woman that you gave me, she..." Okay. Instead of saying, "Adam, quit passing the buck. Quit trying to make excuses. Own your crap, will you? Just, like, own it. Step up." No, God said, okay, fair enough. Then he turns to the woman. I love that. Love it. He didn't blame Adam. Like, "Well, the woman you gave me, fair enough. Eve, what do you have to say for yourself?" She passes the buck. It's a beautiful thing if you ask me. Well, the serpent, instead of God saying, "You know what? I'm tired of you people not taking responsibility for your own actions. Quit playing the victim." No, God didn't say that. He said, "Say that again, Eve. What happened?" "Well, the serpent." "Oh, yeah, the serpent. That's..." Yeah, I can see why you probably would have been fooled by him. So then God turns to the serpent and curses him. But then he drives Adam and Eve from the garden. They were innocent. They weren't bad people. They just didn't know any better. Are they Israelites? No. Are they in the body of Christ? No. So where are they? At the Great White Throne. You say, "Well, that's not fair." Because what that means is, not only have they missed the last several years, Adam and Eve have been dead for a while, Job has been dead for a while, but think about this, they're not going to be alive during the thousand-year kingdom. No, they're not going to be alive during the thousand-year kingdom. They have no right to raise from the dead before the thousand-year kingdom. No right, and they won't. Why do I say that? Because they're not a part of the snatching away of the body of Christ, which is the only great resurrection, the first great resurrection mentioned. Has there been any great resurrections from the time of creation till now? Any? Think of one. Yes, there have been resurrections. I know. Lazarus, the 500 people. How many people were raised after our Lord was raised? A lot. Yeah, but they all died again. We're talking big time resurrections to immortality, or any large resurrection. Answer, no. The body of Christ will be the next significant resurrection. Every other member of the body of Christ is still dead. Paul, Timothy, Epaphras, Titus, and sadly, Tryphena and Tryphosa. Sadly. I don't like to think about it. The next great resurrection will be not too long afterwards. That is, all the great saints of Israel, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, David, the prophets, John the Baptist. I assume his head will be reattached at the resurrection. I'm looking forward to that. But can you name any other great resurrection before this? No. That's why I say that Adam will be at the Great White Throne, and Eve, and every single other freaking person who lived, aside from members of the body of Christ and the worthy saints of Israel. Every single other person will be there. The great and the small, those who had a hankering for God and those who didn't. Those who were famous, those who weren't, those the size of Aunt Jemima, and those the size of Tinkerbell, they're all going to be there. What happens next? I would like to tell you, but I see my time is waning, and so I'm going to tell you how these people are judged, why it's quite fair that they are there. Don't let me hear anybody say it's not fair. It is completely fair. I'm going to tell you exactly what happens to these people. I'm even going to tell you who judges them. I'm going to tell you what the judgment is based upon. and I'm going to tell you what happens to them after that. How do I know all this stuff? I read the scriptures.